In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 17, 629, 1925. And Jesus says this: I want to tell you something very consoling for you, Louisa, and for the great glory for me. So here, this is what Jesus does. Every time you read, he's giving us an insight, a surprise. He's giving us a great hope, a great confidence in him. And so he says, it shall happen with you, Louisa, at your dying time, just as it happened with me at my death. Okay, so once we're one with Louisa, we can hear what Jesus is going to say to us as well. And it's really consoling. He says, in life, I, Jesus, operated, I prayed, I preached, I instituted the sacraments, I suffered unheard of pains, even death itself. But I can say that my humanity saw almost nothing compared to the great good that it had done. Nor did the very sacraments have this life as long as I remained on earth. So here, Jesus is showing us something. One of the things that's difficult for, you know, priests and religious is to see something happening. Like with a parent, you can see the child growing. You know, they come back with report cards, you know, and the kids get older and then the kids move out of the house. For priests and religious, basically, you don't see that. You don't sense that. And this is important, Jesus is saying. He says, I didn't see anything. As long as I remained on earth, he said, I saw almost nothing of the fruit of the growth that he wanted. But he says, as soon as I died, my death put a seal on all my works, my wounds, my pains, my sacraments, and the fruit of my death confirmed everything I did and made my works, my pains, my words, my sacraments that I instituted, as well as the constitution of their life until the consummation of the centuries, rise again to life. Now, I know that my grandmothers, both my grandmothers prayed every day. I mean, you could see them praying. And my father's grandfather always had a rosary in her hand and it was always praying. And my other grandmother, she was involved in everything in the church. She was praying, praying, praying. And I know that their prayers helped me. I know also that their parents and their grandparents and their great grandparents, going back in time, everybody has been praying. And both my grandfathers never saw me get ordained. As Jesus says, he didn't see anything, but he said everything was going to rise again to life. So that's why when we pray, you don't have to see it, the results. You pray when Jesus says, ask, believe that you have received it and it is yours. Okay. Now, the human understanding is very low compared to God's divine, you know, divine will. And there's a lot of things that we think humanly should be done and it's not supposed to happen. There's certain things that have to take place. As Jesus said, in life, he operated, he prayed, he preached, he instituted the sacraments, he suffered unheard of pains, even death itself. But his humanity never saw anything while he was on earth. We pray with total confidence in God, trust in God. And if we see it, okay. If we don't see it, it's okay. It's good. God is going to take care of it. But he knows, like when you start reading the volumes, Jesus tells Louisa, basically, your prayer is my prayer, Jesus says. And when you surrender it to me, you know, that command prayer, as Peter said, when in the boat, when he saw Jesus walking on the water, he said, if you're the Messiah, command me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. So he surrendered his prayer to Jesus. And Jesus took the prayer that he said, because it was Jesus's prayer. Jesus wanted him to walk on the water. He says, come. So this prayer that we pray for our family, our friends, our neighbors, our nation, the church, when we pray, We don't have to see the result. God is going to take care of it. God wants to take care of it. Today I was at a funeral for my bishop, and you know, we pray for his soul. The new bishop was there, the cardinal was there, all the bishops were there, all the priests were there. And what we read last week, he says basically this: touch the heads of their foreheads. The angels touched the heads of the foreheads of these two priests in order to impress on them the Holy Spirit and infuse in them the light in order to make them comprehend the truths and the goods that are in these writings. The angels did that. And Jesus, blessing us all, disappeared. So while I was there, there was a pause, you know, and in during the Holy Mass. And, you know, I prayed this prayer: Holy angels, as Jesus said, touch the foreheads of all the priests here, all the deacons here, all the monsignors here, all the bishops here, even the cardinal himself, touch their foreheads and impress in them the Holy Spirit. That's our prayer. When people say to me, we don't see the priests, it's because we're not praying yet. We haven't got to this prayer that Jesus asked us to pray. Touch the foreheads of the priests to impress in them the Holy Spirit, to infuse in them the light in order to make them comprehend the truths and the goods that are in these writings of Louisa. See, this is what God is waiting for in us. As we learn this, so last week, if we didn't read that last week, I wouldn't have done that with all, you know, all the priests, all the bishops, all the monsignors, all the deacons, for all the bishops, for all, I mean, this is the prayer that Jesus is asking us to pray. When we do this, when we pray, which Jesus says is his prayer, it's going to be accomplished. It's going to be accomplished. As a matter of fact, I was talking to this one priest about Louisa, and everything he said, I said, Jesus said that to Louisa. He said something else. I said, Jesus said that to Louisa. I said, you know, this divine will is perfect for you, you know, because God wants to change the face of the earth, and he needs to purify the priesthood. He needs to purify the church. He needs to purify the nation. He needs to purify all humanity. And that's what's coming. This new and divine way of holiness that's coming upon the earth. It's prodigies unheard of, as Jesus told Louisa. That's what's coming. This is through the priesthood. And I told this to this priest who's it works in the chancery at another diocese. And it was funny. We both had one, as a matter of fact, both of us were friends with this priest who has three doctorates in philosophy. And I talked to him about it. And he said, he really said, because I said, you know, he was reading Louisa. And he said, no human wrote this. This God wrote this. And I said, that's what Jesus tells Louisa. Jesus tells Louisa, you didn't write this. I said, why do you say that? Why do you say that God wrote these writings? He says, because he says, humans don't think like this. This is how God thinks. Now here, that to me just proves how great our God is, that this is my priest friend, and the other priest, they're both, were friends with the same priest, saw clearly that God was doing this. And this is what Jesus is saying here. He says, my death put all my works in motion. My death made them rise again to perennial life. All this was right. In fact, since my humanity contained the eternal word, and a will that has no beginning and no end, and that is not subject to dying, nothing was to perish of all that my holy humanity did, Jesus says. Nothing can perish. And that's what Jesus is asking of us. He's asking us to allow his holy humanity to reign in us, that he, Jesus himself, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening, speak in my speaking, walk in my walking, eat in my eating. You be the Lord of everything that I think, say, and do. So Jesus says, see, everything has to be repeated, if you want to say, by the new Adam and the new Eve. He says, not even a single word, but everything had to have a constitution until the end of the centuries, in order to pass into heaven. to beatify all the blessed eternally. Everything that Jesus has done, we're to repeat. This is why Jesus says, you're going to do greater things than me. How can we do greater things than God? I was always puzzled by that. But what it is we're doing what Jesus is doing as often as we want. Every single day. You know, I mean, a lot of people say, you know, they couldn't go to Holy Mass because they were sick. I said, well, do a spiritual communion every day. Do a spiritual communion throughout the day. You know, make that part of your life, receiving Jesus. Because he said to St. Gertrude, he came with two ciboriums, a silver ciborium and a gold ciborium. And he said, both are important to me. The silver ciborium are the spiritual communions. The gold ciborium are the communions that you receive, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And he says, both are important to me. So throughout the day, we can learn to make spiritual communions throughout the day. Our God is so gratuitous. He constantly wants to give us more and more and more. So then he says to Louisa, the same thing will happen to you. Now we're linked to Louisa. The same thing's going to happen to us. He says, my will that lives in you, Louisa. And now God's will begins to live in us little by little. It's not the fullness that Louisa possessed, but little by little, because we hardly know anything about the divine will, speaks to you. That's every time we read, makes you operate, makes you suffer, and shall let nothing perish, not even a single word of so many truths that I, Jesus, have manifested to you, Louisa, about my divine will. The same thing's going to happen to us. I have people say to me, I can't remember it. I read it and it's gone. I said, don't worry about that. Read it. Just keep on reading. And Jesus tells Louisa said the same thing to Jesus. She says, Jesus, when I read, I don't retain it. You know, he says, don't worry. When you need to know it, I will give this to you. It's the same thing for us. He says, learn it, study it, put it into practice. Now, there are certain things that it's hard for you to remember. For example, the word that I could never remember was disposition. Because I thought, well, disposition means okay. Everything's fine. I'm in agreement with it, you know, but Jesus tells us the disposition that he's looking for is to die to your ego, die to your will. And then he explains it. So in putting this disposition on paper, it's going to take four talks five talks apiece that will explain what this gift is all about. And I don't have that disposition yet. I want to do what God wants, but I haven't dove into what does Jesus mean by disposition? How is he leading us? How is he guiding us? How is he directing us to have this disposition? So, I mean, that's the reason probably why I could never remember it. I didn't have it. I don't have it. And so what God is saying is, okay, here's something that I want you to work on. I want you to work on to be disposed to what God wants us to do. Now, this disposition is far beyond what I ever could imagine. I mean, I've read the Book of Heaven. I've read the calendar. And yet, I didn't know. Disposition is always there. It's the same thing when you read about the three missions of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Jesus talks about it. But when you put it all together, when you put all the three dispositions together, that's throughout the Book of Heaven, it's astonishing what God has planned. He says the Holy Trinity, the Father wanted the Holy Trinity's reflection on earth. That's the mission of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. That's why what Louisa possesses, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, through Louisa, the earth can't be the same anymore. The church can't be the same anymore. See, right now, what I mean by that is right now there's 8 billion people in the world. 1 billion is Catholic. Jesus says, that's not good. He wants everyone to enter this universal life. And that's what he says in Volume 24. Everyone is going to enter into this life. this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve that God wants to breathe in us as he breathed into the dust. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. Jesus says, now this is what's going to happen for all of humanity who wants it. He says the divine will is for everyone. But then Jesus says, unfortunately, it's only for those who want it. Most people want their own human will. Most people can't surrender, can't be disposed to embrace this gift. And so Jesus is teaching us. Every day he's teaching us. And that's why he says, not even a single word is going to be different. He says, my will that lives in you, Louisa, speaks to you. So as we read, as little by little, we begin to hear that word. It's Jesus says to Louisa, when you do an act of the divine will, it's another Adam that comes alive in you. That's an Adam. That's one act. So what he's looking for is this constant, he says, this motion, this I love you, this I praise you, I thank you, which is the rounds. My divine will lives in you. My divine will speaks to you. My divine will makes you operate, makes you suffer, and lets nothing perish, not even a single word. Of the so many truths that I have manifested to you, Louisa, about my divine will. So he says the same thing to us. Everything that the word of God, Jesus Christ, has said to us in the book of heaven, a little by little, atom by atom is expanding. It's growing in us. It's putting out of us our misery of our human will. So he says, the divine will shall put in motion, put everything in motion. It shall make everything rise again. We haven't seen anything yet. What's coming upon the earth? It's a new heavens and a new earth. What's coming upon the earth is a new and divine way of holiness. This is not anything that the saints embrace. The saints learned how to do the will of God. This new and divine way of holiness is how to live in the will of God. This is what Jesus is getting us ready for. So he says to Louisa, and he says to us, your death shall be the confirmation of everything I have told you. So all that Jesus has said to us in the book of heaven, all that Jesus has told us throughout our lives, he's been talking to us, and the Holy Spirit has been guiding us, directing us. The angels have been inspiring us. He says, my truths that I've manifested to you, especially about my divine will, shall put everything in motion and shall make everything rise again. Your death shall be the confirmation of everything I have told you. So he's going to, it's like all the seeds, if you want to say, planted in the ground of our life. Jesus says, your death will bring them all to life. They will rise again. So he says, and since in living in my divine will, everything that the soul does, everything that the soul suffers, everything that the soul prays, everything that the soul says contains an act of the divine will, and all of this shall not be subject to dying, but shall remain in the world like many lives, all in the act of giving life to humanity. See, that's why I'm saying, as you read, the world is changing. How can that happen? Because living in the divine will, everything that the soul does, that prays, everything the soul says, brings life to the world. It gives life to humanity. So think about the prayers that your grandparents have prayed for you. Your parents have prayed for you. Your aunts and uncles have prayed for you. Your friends, your family, your neighbors have been praying. All that brings life, especially when we start praying in the divine will. It's like going from, a flash bulb on a camera to a sun flare, you know, bringing solar heat to the earth, solar rays to the earth, because it's doing the will of God is so minute what the saints have done. Living in the divine will is the life of Jesus and Mary. It's not just doing, but it's living. And that's what Jesus is showing us. So he says, this will bring you consolation. You don't have to see it done now. But in eternity, it's already there. As St. Thomas Aquinas said, if the veil was lifted and we saw where we actually are at this point, he says, we're in the glorified body around the throne of God, praising God eternally. That's heaven. We're there. We're trapped in time and space right now, but we have to begin to live what Jesus wants us to live, heaven on earth, heaven on earth. So he's given us the way and the how this is going to happen. And the more that we can let go of the earth and embrace the life of heaven, the happier we're going to be. This is the thing that is so beautiful about this gift of the divine will, because every day when you read, every passage that you read, every word, every letter that you read becomes alive in you. I mean, it's living, Jesus says. So he says, okay. And again, the main thing is, it's everything that you do in the divine will gives the act of giving life to all your brothers and sisters. So I know that as you read, the earth, your family is changing. It's actually, your family is changing. I know, because that's what Jesus says is going to happen. You might not see it, but they're changing. This is the best part. Little by little, your family's going to be more in favor of the church and our God. And again, they can be harsh at times. You know, it's just Jesus is just saying, you got to pray a little more. He says there's a number of prayers that need to be said for something to happen. So if you're praying and praying and praying and nothing's happened, well, it means a little bit more prayer, a little bit more perseverance, a little more, your disposition has to change a little more of saying to God, thank you that you're allowing me to pray more. For example, the mysteries of the rosary, you know, I had people when John Paul II gave us the five extra mysteries, people went, oh, more prayer. And it was like, what do you mean? We need more prayer. Look at the world. Look at your family. We need more prayer. And God in his graciousness and his love for humanity has given us five more mysteries. And these five more mysteries, when you really think about it, it blends in with what Our Lady taught the saints before. It really does. It's we're studying Jesus even more. We're looking at Jesus and Mary even more than before. So in 1926, the Archbishop of Trani designated St. Francis, Annibale de Francia, the director for all that concerned the writings of Luisa. And in sight of the publications that Father de Francia desired to do, although prevented by his death, as well as an ecclesiastical censor for three united dioceses of Trani, Ballardi, and Barletta, and Biscaglia. So here, what is really astonishing is in the writings, the books in the Vatican had the imprimatur of Archbishop May in 1 through 19. We saw them. As a matter of fact, there's a copy of the imprimatur on the internet. Approved by whom? St. Annibale de Francia put the Nihil Obstat on it, and the Archbishop May put his imprimatur. 1926, it was a year shortly after that that St. Annibale died and didn't accomplish what Jesus told him to do. Jesus told him, I want these books published and you're going to do it. You and your community is going to do it. And it was hard to get them started, but they got the books out there via the Hours of the Passion. The Virgin Mary was out there at this time of St. Pius X. St. Pius X, when he heard reading the Hours of the Passion, said to St. Annibale de Francia, we must kneel because Jesus is speaking to us. The great blessing Germany had 1 through 19 translated into German, I've seen their volumes in Corrado. Beautiful font, a beautiful German font. It's so, I don't know how they did it. It was so amazing. So, but you know, the writings of Luisa now are all over the world. And Jesus says, when these writings come out, the face of the earth will change. And that's what we basically have seen since they came out. The earth is not the same anymore. And the reason, Jesus says, is the kingdom's coming. God's getting everything ready. Via letter 3 of St. Honorable de France to Luisa Picaretta, Messina 7:12, I think it was 2. Is that right? Blessed one in the Lord, Sister Luisa Picaretta. They had a beautiful relationship of confessor and little sister Luisa. He says, I received several days ago the continuation of volume 18 sent to me from Trani. Under the date November 1st of last year, there is a harrowing chapter about your pains and the privation of Jesus, which you compare to those of hell, and you find them greater than those. However, you believe that they are not greater than those of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, not even comparable to them. So here, you're getting an understanding of the suffering that Luisa went through. And she understood the sufferings of our Lord on the cross because Jesus would crucify her every day. So the sufferings that she was going through are like hell, like those of hell, but they're not like the sufferings that Jesus went through on the cross. In my unworthy prayers, I supplicate our Lord Jesus for you that he would not let you suffer so much in these privations, but that he would come back always quickly to comfort you again. So here, like I said before, Luisa suffered when she did not see Jesus. She said, I can't breathe. When she did not see Jesus, she says, my heart doesn't beat. When she did not see Jesus, she said, I'm dead. I'm dead. You're my life and I don't see you. And St. Honorable de Francia knew. He says that your suffering is so much in these privations of Jesus that he would come back and always quickly to comfort you, to bring you back to life. I have not been well in my health, nor was I able to leave Messina due to pending business, but I hope that our Lord, if my fiat is there, may allow me to come to speak with you and to Father Benedetto about the printing. So here you can see how he has learned what to do. And it's teaching us. I'm busy, but I hope that our Lord, if my fiat is there. So it's always got to be fiat to Jesus in every situation. Fiat to Jesus. If this is what you want, if that let it be done as you wish. My fiat wants to be one with your fiat, Lord, one with Mary's fiat. I don't want to lose anything outside the fiat of God. Allow me to come to speak to you with you, he says, about the printing. And I am pleased that he undertook your direction. And listen to this. I believe he fixed you up with morning Holy Mass and communion. So this was, again, allowed by Pope Leo XIII and Pope St. Pius X that Luisa could have Holy Mass celebrated in her room every day. And every night, Jesus would let her tour the universe. I've talked about the socks before. Her socks were dirty and ripped up and holes in them. And every time I look at those, I go, why didn't they buy her some nice socks? Why are these used socks from somebody? But it wasn't. These are the socks that Jesus walked all over the universe with her, showed her everything in the universe. Now, this is important. What's coming is going to knock your socks off. What's coming is no eye has seen, no ear has heard. Imagine. See, everything that Luisa has gone through, Jesus is going to show us as well, individually, as much as we want or as little as we want. He would put her in a rigid condition where she was heavier than a large rock. Nobody could move her. Even if she had her arm up when she became rigid, nobody could move her arm. As a matter of fact, After she was, when she died, there was no rigor mortis. Her eyes weren't dilated. Blood was circulating through her veins, but there was no heartbeat. There was no breath, but they couldn't bend her back down. Her back, she was up, she was sitting up all her life. And so they had to make a coffin. And if you look at it, it's the fiat. The coffin was a glass for her all around her up on top, but it was her body was in it like a car. It was the first fiat. And then you look at the pictures, this is kind of fun. While she's being processed through the street, her head just moves from side to side because there was no rigor mortis. It was like she was sleeping. When they opened her coffin 58 years later, I think it was 58 years later. No, it wasn't 58 years later. It was 1963 on the Feast of St. Thomas, the Apostle, July 3rd. When they opened the coffin, there she was, perfectly preserved, perfectly preserved. And then in the count of three, one, two, three, she turned into dust. It's really fun because Jesus says, he says, you, Louisa, are incorruptible. So what is happening? It's the same thing that happened to Conchita. Conchita said the priest who died there, the young priest who died there, when they, at the day of the miracle, they'll find that his body is perfectly preserved. Well, they dug up his body and his body is corrupted. They said, you know, you didn't speak the truth. Look at his body. It's all corrupted. She said, it's not the day of the miracle. The day that's coming, this is the thing that's going to be so, so amazing. Everyone who survives will become Catholic because what's coming is so amazing. What's coming is so Catholic. It's the universal life that's coming to the earth. This is the time for sanctification. This is a really a glorious time. She says, St. Honorable de France, I bless you in Jesus Christ. I am reading your writings. They are always sublime revelations, similes worthy of the divine creator. As for example, that of beating of the heart compared to a single act of the fiat. So think about that. Our acts, Jesus says, don't lose a moment. Jesus is teaching us in these words from St. Honorable de Francia. Every act that you do in the divine will is your heart beating in the divine will. Now, Jesus wants it constant. Jesus wants that constant beating. So what is he asking? What is he showing us? He says, your simile is worthy of a divine creator. For the example, the beating of the heart compared to a single act. Okay, this beating of the heart, God wants to see constant. He wants us to be attentive to everything that's around us so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. If every act that you do is the beating of your heart, continuous beating of your heart, the kingdom's here. So we see. So he says, I also bless your dear sister Angelina and the sisters, those sisters and the nephews and the trainees and the most holy hearts of Jesus and Mary. I say yours in Jesus Christ, Canon Annabelle Maria de Francia. So here it is. Letter six. It's Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and Anthony. Rome 9:4-26. Dearest one in the Lord Jesus, the air of Rome is rather good for me, thank God. So here he is. It's a little warmer. It's not the air of Sicily. I give you this news. Yesterday, first Friday of the month of September, I presented to our Lord the third volume, which I finished reviewing completely. And then it went to the sacristy and I signed it as the end with my nihil absta, with the authority of this is Bishop, Archbishop of Trani, that he gave me by appointing me ecclesiastical censor for the publications of his three dioceses. So here, the censor is a saint. The censor is a saint. He put the nihil absta on. So the authorization to publish for the world these books dictated by our Lord about his divine will is now opened. Note, that it was the first Friday of the month, which is dedicated each month to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. So here, how important to the Lord that he would have a great saint like St. Honorable de Francia publish the first book of volume 3. Now it is my idea to review myself personally with the help of the Lord, all the other volumes, which I have not yet read. That is 2, 4, 5, 6. He's read them all, because when you go through these, he's got the notes on the side. So he hasn't read them to get ready for publication, as he says, reviewing completely. So he hasn't reviewed them completely, but he read 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 19. Eight. Volume 8 is really beautiful. The last chapter of volume 8, Jesus tells Luisa why you can't use the word why. And like a parent can ask to use the word why, like why did you break this, or why didn't you do your homework? A teacher can ask the word why. A priest can ask the word why in confession. Now, why did you do this? Okay. But our why to the Lord is not acceptable to God. We can't ask him why. And he shows us that why comes from hell. And the first one who used the word why was the devil. So what happens is that word, as you read, Luisa, when you get to volume 8 and you read the last chapter of volume 8, you really stop using the word why. Now, Our Lady didn't use why, she used how. When the angel said, you're going to be the mother of my Lord, she says, how can this be? He says, basically, I've made a vow of virginity. I'm not going to know a man for a child. So how can I become the mother? What do I need to do to become the mother of God, as you say? And the angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she said, fiat mihi. So her wasn't, why, but how. So what happens when you read volume 8, this gives you an example. Jesus is always teaching. He's always guiding us, leading us. And when you get to volume 8, you really begin not to use why when you're at by the end time you're end of volume 8. Okay, so then I prayed to the Monsignor of Trani, according to his promise, to place his imprimatur on each volume after my Nihili Obstat, and all of them had the Nihili Obstat that was in the secret archives of the Vatican. It is understood that I will also place the Nihili Obstat without new revision to volumes 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, on which I have already reviewed. See, the word reviewed. Whose originals you have, and this is the way everything will be ready for the future. Who knows? Our Lord may use whoever he wants. So like he's saying, he's right now, he's getting sick in 26. And he says, we're going to see how God's going to take care of it. Do you see how in this way, the celestial plan, which wants these writings to be approved by the ecclesiastical authorities, appears to be so well outlined? Who can resist the divine will? And this is it. Who can resist the divine will? I think I will come back to Corrado between the 21st and the 22nd of the month of September, because in truth, if I can, I will do everything possible with the help of our Lord in order to present to Monsignor Intrani, the Bishop of Intrani, Archbishop of Intrani, all of our volumes with my Nihili Obstat on September 24th. So all the volumes now at this point will have it, which is dedicated to the Most Holy Virgin of Mercy, Redemptrix of Slaves, and to have all the imprimaturs, or at least the beginning of the imprimaturs on that day, so sacred and meaningful, which is also falls on a Friday. In the meantime, let us pray, because if this point is passed, we can say that the publication is secure. So he's really, really happy. Our Lady's obedience imposes on you to write either during the day or the night, everything, everything, everything. I love that. that the Lord reveals to you. Then that's what we do when we read. We want to read everything, everything, everything. Let nothing escape you. And that's the same thing for us. Don't skip over. Read everything. You'll be so happy that you've done this. This is the word of the universal uncreated wisdom. And one word is worth more than the whole universe. This is word of the uncreated wisdom of God. And one word spoken to you, Louisa, is worth more than the whole of universe. One word that we read is worth more than the whole universe. You are not allowed, therefore, to neglect even one syllable. It's the same thing for us. You know, don't neglect even one syllable. If you are not impeccable in this obedience, I will ask your archbishop to exercise greater authority over you. I bless you and your good sister and the young girls. Tell Rosaria, he says, to dare no more to touch you and caress you as she did once in my presence. Otherwise, our Lord will chastise her. See, they were very close. So blessing you again, I commend you a little bit, my poor health, which is worsened by the years. But before all, ask blessed Jesus for my conversion. See, that's what we want to do for Lent. We want to say to Jesus, I want to be converted even more. I want conversion. If you want, you can write me a few lines. My address is yours in Christ, Canon de Francia. So here, what we're seeing is this intimacy that God had with the saint who John Paul II said, if you want vocations, you pray to him for vocations worldwide. You know, if vocations are now placed in St. Anna Maria de Francia's hands, and now you see this demand that he makes of Louisa, put everything down that Jesus says. It is so essential. That is so important for you. It's like, this is common for us. It's foreign. We don't know what this is. We want to know this. We want to learn this. We want to live this. We want to possess this. And that's what happens when you read the Book of Heaven. You come to the point where there is nothing like the divine will. There is nothing like these writings given to Louisa. To end with a prayer, may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name under the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.